Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Politics of Power, A Critical Introduction to American Government, is a political science textbook that offers a focused, interpretive overview of the U.S. political system. Written by Ira Katznelson, with Mark Kesselman and Alan Draper, it is designed not simply to explain how American government works, but to examine the deeper forces that shape it. The book is best known for its critical perspective on the tension between capitalism and democracy, making it distinct from more neutral survey texts. Rather than treating institutions as self-contained, it places them in historical and economic context and asks how power is distributed, defended, and challenged in American political life. Published by W. Norton, the book is used in academic settings for students who need both a foundational introduction and a sharper analytical framework. Its purpose is to help readers understand the formal structure of government while also questioning the social and economic interests that influence policy, representation, and political conflict. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a critical framework for understanding American government. The book stands out because it does not present American politics as a purely procedural system. Instead, it adopts a critical framework that encourages readers to ask who benefits from political arrangements and why certain outcomes persist. This approach is especially useful in a textbook because it moves beyond memorizing branches of government or election rules. Katznelson and his co-authors use the critical lens to connect institutions with broader patterns of social power. That means Congress, the presidency, courts, parties, and interest groups are not treated as isolated parts, but as mechanisms that can either reinforce or challenge unequal influence. The value of this framework is that it helps students interpret political conflict rather than merely describe it. Readers are pushed to think about government as an arena where competing groups struggle over authority, policy, and legitimacy, which gives the book its distinctive intellectual edge. Secondly, the tension between capitalism and democracy as the book's central theme. A defining idea in the book is the ongoing tension between capitalism and democracy. This theme gives the text a clear organizing principle and keeps the discussion from becoming a simple institutional tour. The authors suggest that American government cannot be understood without recognizing the relationship between economic power and political equality. In practice, this means examining how markets, wealth, and corporate influence can shape policy choices, sometimes narrowing democratic participation or limiting reform. At the same time, democratic institutions create opportunities for public contestation, regulation, and redistribution. The book uses this tension to explain why American politics often produces compromise, conflict, and institutional resistance to change. Rather than assuming that democracy automatically corrects inequality, it shows how economic structures can constrain political outcomes. This makes the text especially valuable for readers who want to understand why many policy debates in the United States are also debates about power, access, and control over resources. Thirdly, institutions explain through power, not just formal design, like other American government textbooks. The book covers the major institutions of the federal system, but it does so with a specific emphasis on power. The executive branch, Congress, the judiciary bureaucracy, and political parties are examined not only in terms of their constitutional roles, but also in terms of how they interact in real political sangharshas. This matters because formal design alone does not explain how influence is actually exercised. For example, a constitutional separation of powers may suggest balance, yet actual outcomes depend on bargaining, partisan alignment, administrative capacity, and access to organized interests. The book's analytical strength lies in showing that institutions are shaped by political conflict and historical development. Readers learn that the structure of government is never neutral. It channels some forms of participation and advantage more easily than others. This institutional analysis helps students connect abstract constitutional principles to the practical realities of policymaking and governance. Fourthly, historical context as a way to explain modern political conflict. The book's approach is historical as well as analytical, which allows it to explain present-day institutions as products of earlier political struggles. Rather than treating the American system as fixed, it shows how government has evolved through conflict over labor, race, rights, reform, and state power. This historical perspective is important because it helps explain why contemporary politics often reflects unresolved disputes from earlier eras. Many of the book's arguments depend on the idea that political institutions carry the imprint of the social conditions in which they were built. As a result, modern debates over welfare, regulation, voting, and public authority can be read as continuations of older conflicts about who should govern and whose interests should prevail. By placing current events in historical context, the text gives readers a stronger explanatory model than a purely descriptive survey. It teaches that American government is best understood as a changing system shaped by inherited inequalities and recurring struggles over reform. Lastly, a textbook designed to provoke argument as well as instruction. Although it is a textbook, the book is meant to do more than deliver neutral background information. Its explanatory style is designed to encourage debate, reflection, and critical interpretation. That makes it especially suitable for classroom use, where the goal is often not only to learn what the institutions are, but also to assess how well they serve democratic purposes. Students encounter a version of American government that asks them to weigh evidence, identify assumptions, and consider alternative explanations for political outcomes. This is part of what gives the book its reputation for being thought-provoking. It does not flatten controversy into a simple summary, and it does not present the system as an ideal model. Instead, it offers readers a disciplined way to question the relationship between political equality and actual power. For instructors and students alike, that makes the book more than an introductory survey. It becomes a tool for analyzing the structure and limits of American democracy. In conclusion, The Politics of Power is best suited for students, instructors, and general readers who want an introduction to American government that is both systematic and critical. It is especially useful for readers who already know the basic structure of U.S. institutions but want a deeper explanation of how power, inequality, and economic interests shape political outcomes. The book's main benefit is that it connects constitutional design to lived political reality, showing why formal rules alone do not determine policy or participation. Compared with standard American government textbooks, it stands out for its sustained attention to the tension between capitalism and democracy and for its willingness to treat that tension as central rather than peripheral. That makes it valuable in classrooms that want to encourage debate, not just recall. It also offers a stronger interpretive framework for readers trying to make sense of recurring conflicts over regulation, rights, representation, and state authority. In short, it is both an introduction and a critique, which is why it remains distinctive within its genre. If you would like to support Ira Katznelson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.